Has your daughter come collecting you?
No, she has not.
She doesn't know about it yet?
Yeah. I don't think she probably remembers.
Is that on you or on her? Like, should you have to remind the person who won the bet? Good question, by the way.
It is a good question.
Yeah. I think if somebody wins a bet, they ought to be like, hey, man, remember that bet?
Yeah.
Like, I think Delaney should be coming up to you and be like,
Katie.
Oh, it's Katie.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because Delaney probably would have already cashed in.
Easy. Yeah.
Like,
easy.
Dad, on the way to work, can you stop at Canes?
Stop at Canes.
Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Pay up, Dad.
That's right. My daughter, DeAndre Hopkins, would score a touchdown this past week, and she said, no, I'm not going to pick him up on my fantasy team.
And she's not
said,
up yet, so she's not here.
Oh, God, yeah. They're already on their way to school.
Yeah, probably at school. Or
yeah. They're getting ready to walk out the door. So, no, I owe her Canes. Yeah, I don't know. We got to cash in on that. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question, though. Do you have to pay the bet if they don't remember? Right. Like, if they're not going to remind you, you just sit on it, right? We wait for them. And then once a week goes by, it's like, yeah, you got to collect before a week.
Yeah. Nah, is it a week? Is it a statute of limitations? I mean, if you make a bet,
like, how long does it take for you to have to get a wedding gift?
If a year.
Yeah, you have a year to get a wedding gift.
Right. Yeah.
So a year to pay a bet?
A year to pay a bet? I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Whatever.
Okay, honestly, but yeah, you shouldn't be taking that long. Pay your bets.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Get it done.
It's just a matter of timing now. So yeah.
Right. So if you missed that, Bob bet his daughter that DeAndre Hopkins would score.
Right.
He did not score. He better Lorenzo Canes. That's
yeah, that would
Raising
be really good.
Hey. Raising Canes. Yeah. Raising Canes. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
You double up this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you
should
do.
Yeah. But there's no football on this weekend because we can play on Monday.
Mm.
That's true.
It's a good day to have red zone the entire day.
It is. A good day to just hang out. So, yeah, Katie, I owe you some Canes, so we'll find a day. We'll go get some Canes. We should have done that yesterday, actually.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, because today's Taco Tuesday.
It is, yeah. Made some tacos on the Black Stone the other day. It was great, man.
The shrimp and the verde?
Did shrimp, just green enchilada sauce. I had a can of right there. Turned out well.
I love a shrimp taco. This is now trending to be the greatest Chiefs team of all time.
Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to argue that, I don't think.
I think it's a lot of people starting to think, like, maybe this is it. And then people are like, nah, the best team I've ever seen was 1997. We're 14-2, and damn it, we lost to Denver in the playoffs.
Didn't close out the deal. I mean, like, in my opinion, when you start ranking the greatest teams in organizational history, they have to be teams that won a championship.
Right.
Unless you're like, you know, a team that's never won a championship, like the Houston Texans or whoever,
right.
You can rank it that way. But like, if you've won Super Bowls, which the Chiefs have four, you start there with the greatest teams because the teams that are the greatest finish the deed.
Which makes our minds turn to think if you could, you know, bring back any player from the Chiefs past that you think would guarantee them a 20-0 or a 20-0 record. And a three-peat.
Yeah.
Who's that player?
For me, it was pretty simple. Willie Rofe.
Lock up the left side.
And obviously, this came to my mind watching Wanya Morris.
Helmet. Remember how his face looked in that helmet? I felt so bad for Willie Rofe.
It's always squished in there, yeah.
I think he has to have a ton of Excedrin in his locker.
Willie Rofe is the only gentleman who could not walk but would destroy you in a football game. And then limp back to the huddle and like walk on eggshells. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
Six pancakes a game.
He was unbelievable. Greatest left tackle I've ever seen play. And so... obviously, with the Wanya Morris situation, are we calling it a situation, right? He stunk out loud the other day, right? I'm like, we need Willie Rofe. God, if we had Willie Rofe on this team, how much better would this organization be? So I'm going Willie Rofe.
Yeah, I love it. I'll go Eric Berry.
Why?
Because he's from Tennessee.
Okay. That's a fair point.
Oh, yeah, and that he wasn't the best safety in the NFL at one point. Adding him with Justin Reed and Trent McDuffie in the secondary, you don't need another corner at that point. By the way, Eric Berry played every position on defense. You know, free safety. Yeah, he played strong safety. He was in the box.
Whoa,
played outside.
I never saw him at defensive tackle.
I feel attacked.
I never saw him at rush end.
No DT. You're right. No DT.
Did he play middle linebacker?
I didn't see him at middle linebacker
outside
ever.
Outside linebacker, a little middle linebacker. Yeah, I mean,
Eric Berry, of all players in the Chiefs franchise history that you could add to guarantee 20-0, you go Eric Berry. You know, he quit on the team.
Albert Wilson or something. Well, I mean Eric Berry.
Like, I used it based on, like, what need do they still have? I don't think they have a need.
No, like, well, you took Willie Rofe. Mitchell Schwartz would be a good one. Move Juwan Taylor back to left tackle. That's a decent one.
You could do that. I don't hate
John
that at
Tate.
All. Yeah. John Tate's another good one. Yeah. I mean, he was a really good football player. Yeah.
I just like doing random names.
Dan
Saliamua.
Man, I don't think he makes you better.
Eric Warfield.
Definitely does not make you
William
better.
William Barty.
Definitely does not make you better.
Pat Surtain Sr. Really had him and Ty Law. I turned over on my sleep that night. I was like, we got lockdown corners now. Ah, crap, they're 33.
Yeah.
You think Eric Berry's tough. I'm going to say Dante Hall.
Explain to me why.
New kickoff rule.
Okay.
Human joystick.
Yeah.
Can change a game in 2 seconds.
I don't hate that.
And they haven't really had that guy since Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And when you have that little secret gadget weapon, also could play the slot, is a, to me, would be an elevated version of Mecole Hardman, who's been good since he's been back. I think it would give you more reps. And I look at you, like your conversation with Mac, like I don't feel like the defense needs a whole lot of help. Obviously, they went and got an edge rusher yesterday slash linebacker, but man, I really wish they'd have got a corner.
Yeah.
And I don't think their secondary needs help.
I really wish I was a millionaire.
Yeah. I think the offensive unit is good enough to go at least to the Super Bowl and win a three-peat. And I think if you were to add Dante Hall to give that special teams factor where, like, your offense is struggling and you need to lean on something else that's not the defense, oh, is that a punt return that goes 65 yards to the house and the game's over?
Yeah.
Dante Hall.
Yeah, no, I kind of like that one because that is something that kind of has been missing, you know, this year. I think across the NFL, we haven't seen a lot of returns this year, have we?
Yeah.
Have we?
I think there was one last night.
That was a punt return. Yeah.
But I mean, that game, once that punt return happened last night, game was over.
Game was over. No question. That's what I was like, all right, I'm out on this one. But yeah.
And my fantasy team lost because of that, because they had the Steelers defense.
Yeah.
Jared Allen.
Why did you lose if you had the Steelers defense?
He had the Steelers defense. Okay. Jared Allen on this team make this team undefeated in 20-0?
No.
My buddy Matt just texted me, don't forget about Jared Allen.
No, I don't think so. I think they're good on defense.
Yeah, I guess if you could add from the text line 913-586-7965, you could add any Chiefs player from the past, put them on this team to guarantee 20-0 and a three-peat. Who is that player? I mean, maybe Dayton Hughes.
Could be. You hear him on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dayton Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Tuesday at 7:25, that's where you'll find Dayton Hughes on our station on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear him also on Players Only. I believe he's with Jay Binkley at Buffalo Wild Wings, which I'm going to go say hi to those dudes tonight because they're my neck of the woods in Lee's Summit. He is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue.
Or boo.
How you doing, boo? Danon, I'll never call you that again, I promise. I'll never do that again.
Thank you. What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
How much, man?
Victory Tuesday.
It is Taco Tuesday. It is Victory Tuesday. And it is, if you could add any Chief from the past to this roster to guarantee 20-0 and a three-peat, who are you adding?
Please say yourself.
I'd love to say myself, but I don't know if that would – that probably equate to 19-1. I would say – gosh, I'm just thinking of the positions where we could use an upgrade or at least have the presence of greatness there. Tackle, so Willie Rofe would come to mind.
Why did you do that?
Thank you.
Why you have no idea what you just done, Danon.
Yeah, I think I would probably lean towards that. And heck, I'd even bring in Will Shields and have him play tackle. Not that he need to play guard, but he had actually played tackle and center. Not many people realize that he played all three positions while he was with the Chiefs. So I would say he would be somewhat of at least dependable at the tackle position. Let's see, who else? Gosh, Derek Johnson, I feel like would be a help at linebacker. Not that that's disparaging upon our linebacking corps, because I actually think they're really playing really good football. But somebody that would be, I feel like Derek Johnson, his attribute would be opportunistic in the passing game. And so interceptions by linebackers, that type of affecting the game at the defensive position. I think that's really it.
Okay.
Besides myself.
Besides yourself. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We were having the conversation on Friday at the eighth grade dance pictures with some of the other fathers, and some of them were like, yeah, I'd like them to get a loss out of their system. I'm like, I don't subscribe to that philosophy. Where are you on the getting the loss out of your system conversation?
Yeah, I don't believe that is the reason why you would hope for a loss or think that a loss would be helpful. I assume those same people would say, well, we lost against the Raiders on Christmas Day and then we won 6 straight and a Super Bowl. That, you know, I mean, I get that argument as well. So in retrospect, I guess that worked last year, but I don't think that that is the case. I just wonder if you go into the playoffs undefeated, like, is that something extra? Like, is that something extra that you're thinking about of not only just getting to the promised land and representing the AFC in New Orleans and winning another Super Bowl and making history, but do you feel like that's extra pressure that now that you're undefeated, it's not just about the Super Bowl win, or does that add pressure about the Super Bowl win? So to answer your question, I don't subscribe that a loss is needed. Sometimes it can be a healthy reset like we saw last year and a reality check, but I don't think it's needed.
Yeah, I think it was needed last year, but I think it was needed in the way that they did lose, like you said, like a needed reality check. So I'm with you on that side, Danon, as we are talking to Danon Hughes here on Fesco and Dusty. Danon, you move from Vegas to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, our producer Mac was saying, bad defense. What do you want to see from this offense moving forward? Because it looked like there was a little bit of a glimpse in that first half that, you know, that they were starting to get more in sync, fine in tune, everything like that. What do you want to see moving forward with this offense as the second half of the season begins?
Well, I think there's going to be some opportunity. There's always opportunity to grow, even the defense, number two in the NFL, but still opportunities to grow. They allowed some yardage and points early in the game, and fortunately they were able to reset that. Offensively, I feel like with DeAndre Hopkins, like, there were times where I watched the game and I'm calling a game from the booth with Mitch, and I'm like, wow, if DeAndre was here for training camp, preseason, he would have gotten that pass right there. And he was open right there. And that would have been a play that Patrick would have been comfortable throwing to him. That's not the case yet. So there's definitely some upside that still can be had with DeAndre Hopkins and his presence on the field. If you remember, there was an incomplete pass where Patrick threw from the left hash coming out of the end zone to all the way to the right sideline where the Chiefs were to Xavier Worthy, where it was knocked down and forced a punt. DeAndre Hopkins was on the backside running a slant or a deep in, and he was wide open. And I feel like that's just going to be part of the process in regards to having a new receiver, having a guy that's dependable. Now, yeah, he had multiple targets in the game. He made plays. But I feel like that's where the growth is going to happen, is having that guy that, you know, even though the play may be designed based on the defense, hey, I'm supposed to throw this deep out on this side of the field. I got to get Xavier Worthy involved. Whatever the reasons are, there's always going to be that – there will eventually, I should say, there will be eventually be that time where Patrick says, you know what, but I got D-Hop on the other side, and I know he's got man-to-man, and he's going to get open. So I feel like that's where the growth is going to happen on this offense, and I'm looking forward to that because obviously there are no other teams that can say they're undefeated, but there are also not very many teams that can say confidently that they haven't played their best football, and they're still – in this position as a top team in their division and in the conference. So to me, that's encouraging. I like the fact that we have not arrived yet, and we're just in week 8 going into week 9.
Danon Hughes with us here on 96.5 The Fan. And yesterday they go out and add Josh Uche, easy enough for me to say, from the New England Patriots. With that move, can the defense now be the catalyst to continue to carry this team forward?
I think so. I mean, this... let's face it, that's what we may be looking at this year. We may be looking at the defense being more prominent than it was last year, if anybody would have thought that that would be even possible, and that it would be a team that would be carried by the defense, even though we have a healthy Patrick Mahomes and a healthy Travis Kelce. Like, that might be where we are landing right now with this team. The reality of where we sit is that the defense might be the reason why we get a three-peat. It might be the reason why we get the number one seed. And we should be okay with that, even with the star power that we have on offense. So I like that. The concern for me, if there's a concern, is the health of Amenihu, the health of Mike Dana. If you go out and get Uche, why? Just wonder about that. And if it's going to be extended, not necessarily season ending, I'm okay with that. Like, if Charles Omenihu is not going to be back here until week 12 and he's got fresh legs and he doesn't have to be thrust right into the lineup because we got depth there now, I'm okay with that. Because that's what he came through in the clutch for us last year late in the season. The other concern is the desperation of other teams. Like, we're coming upon a part of our schedule where desperation, when you go against the Buccaneers and they've lost the last two games, there's desperation there. So how does that desperation show itself on Monday Night Football on that stage? And then the subsequent teams after that that we're playing, as you get closer to the end of the season, you start to see teams is going to be kind of in the middle, the thick in the middle, and that desperation, how does it present itself as a foe against us on a Sunday or Monday night? So those are the things that concern me right now, but like, there are bigger concerns around the NFL for many other fan bases.
When does a team, Damon, go from a desperate team to a team that has given up and has already booked Cancun?
New York Jets right now.
I'd say once you get to 7 losses and you look at your schedule and you realize that you're playing playoff teams for the most part in the remaining part of your schedule, that's when I think people start to check out. And most players don't because they realize that at any given time, it could be their last play of their career, especially if you're on a losing team, because obviously a losing team is not going to go ahead and field the same 47 guys the next season. So you have to be aware about that. No matter how good you think you are, if you're on a losing team, you have to realize that there are going to be changes. There's always changes regardless. So the mature guys recognize that, but then there are some out there that's like, you know, this season's a wrap. Heck, there's some coaches, there's some staff, the organizations, because then they start playing for draft picks and positioning and so on. So fortunately, we haven't been in that position for a long time, but it's human nature to think that, okay, if we're 2-8 in week 11, like, what do we have to really play for besides a little bit of pride and dignity, but there's no postseason?
Dana, well, we started off with a fun question. Let's end with two fun questions. This team is 16-0 going into the final game of the season against the Broncos. Do you start your starters and go for undefeated, or do you let them just rest?
Let them rest.
Fair enough.
I know that's not the popular point, but could you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine the story, not just here in Kansas City, but nationally, probably globally, if you start your starters and somebody gets hurt and you get thrust out of the playoffs in the divisional round, or you have a lingering injury that hampers you in the AFC Championship. I just couldn't imagine that being the case. And heck, we have last year as to show that even though we had secured postseason berth, we had secured basically our positioning, they sat Travis Kelce. They sat Patrick Mahomes, even in that circumstance. So I don't see that Andy Reid would change courses just because we're undefeated. It would be a great story. I would love to not only imagine the magic around Kansas City, imagine that parade, imagine all the festivities around this team and the celebration of this team, if not only do they go and win a three-peat, but they do it as an undefeated team. Like, it would be amazing around the Chiefs kingdom. So I would love that, but I think the smart route is to sit your starters.
And then your last one is, who has more yards the rest of the season, starting from here on out, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, or DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Xavier Worthy, because I feel like he may get 3 catches for 70 yards a game, while those other guys might have 6 or 7 catches, but not as many yards. So if you're speaking of yardage, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Xavier Worthy, because most of the plays that he gets are going to stretch the field. Then I would say Travis Kelce would be a close second, and then DeAndre Hopkins third.
pretty wild that Rashee Rice still second on the team in wide receiver yards. Danon, appreciate you. You got a pretty busy week this week, and then we'll listen to you on Thursday and listen to you on Friday, I believe, too, right? Or no?
Yeah, Thursday night we'll do players only. I'll be in the booth and handling that. And then Friday I'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings with Bink, and I'm not sure if it's Mitch Schwartz or Barbershop. Hopefully it's Mitch Schwartz, because you know I can only get so much of defensive guys.
And no doubt about it, man. All right, well, I'll see you Friday, and I'll listen to you Thursday, man. Take care.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Danon.
Danon Hughes there, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. So he just basically agrees with a lot of you said.
Yeah.
Said Xavier Worthy because of the yardage, and said Willie Roe.
Well, I think I said DeAndre Hopkins, but I did say Xavier Worthy will get like 60 yards on three catches. I mean, just up over the top and stuff like that. It's going to be easier for Xavier Worthy with less catches to get the yards than, you know, the tight end, if you will.
Text line is full of Willie Roe, Derek Thomas.
I don't think Derek Thomas helps this team. I don't think they need Derek Thomas. They need Willie Roe on this team. I don't think they need Derek Thomas.
And the text line has been awoken.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Oh, my God. How could you not say Derek Thomas should be on every group? Yeah. Well, because they got a good defense. If you were to tell me I could choose Willie Roe or Derek Thomas in their prime on this team, I'm taking Willie Roe 10 times out of 10.
No question. But Derek still helps the team.
Yeah.
To say that he doesn't help, that's not, I mean, you know, that's not true, but I get what you're saying, obviously.
Willie Roe takes this team to a different level.
Yeah, I think the way that you're looking at it is Willie Roe helps the team more than Derek Thomas would help the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not saying that he wouldn't help. I mean, dude, 58's out there and Chris Jones on that defensive line. You thought he and Neal were good.
Right.
You thought Neal and DT were great.
But if you're asking me which one helps this team more in an area of need, it's Willie Roe.
That's right. No doubt about it. Imagine the team was 16-0 and they rest their starters and Carson Wentz beat the Broncos.
Oh, 17-0. That'd be great, right?
Boy, wouldn't that be something?
What do you do if they lose, though? I mean, like, you got to live with that, you know, the rest of your life. Like, we had this opportunity. Did we do that? But if you win the Super Bowl, nobody cares.
A quiet sleeper on the
On the Twitterverse would complain. Mm-hmm. You know?
Someone that's coming up a sneaky pick on the text line for what person you would add to this team to guarantee a undefeated season and three-peat, Tony Gonzalez. Him and Travis Kelce.
I mean, I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say no. You could always use another great weapon.
In their prime, who gets more action, Tony Gonzalez or Travis Kelce?
Like receiving?
No, I mean like receiving women. Oh. Like numbers, action. Yes, Matt, get out of sports for a second. Because Tony was nailing it. Tony. Like 98, 99, rookie at 97. Travis, though, man, that guy's gone through different eras.